Rogan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mike Monaco is going to be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Our
legal expert. We have to ask him about Tom Brady. Poor Tom Brady gets slighted again.
He'll be here on the Tom Brady lost his appeal.
It was the appeal of the appeal that they appealed, I think. And
the appeal of the appeal.
Yep.
Right.
Back and forth.
So now he's going to have to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
If he elects to, yes.
And he also will talk to us about the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's speaking her mind these days. She might have something to say about Tom Brady.
Yep. So we've got that going for us. And the lawsuit, and I like this too, the Trump lawsuit, where he's suing Levis Aides for $10 million. Oh, that guy talked about me to the press, okay?
Well, I don't think you want somebody on your own staff leaking stuff against you or whatever it was that you didn't want to be released.
I think that's
to
true.
To the media. I think everyone would deal with that person in a harsh way. And with him, it's the sue thing. I'm going to sue you for $10 million. I don't know if this guy has $10 million, but it sets a statement.
It does. That's how he handles these kinds of things. The problem is that you have to make assumptions. In politics, you have that. Right? It's not business. It's a very different world than business. So you have a moment where you have people who you almost bring on to the team to be the leakers. And you give them certain information that they think that they have privately, and then they leak it. And then you fire them precipitously, they've done their job. And if you know who you're dealing with in that, and it's people who've been around forever and ever and ever. Plus, here's the other reason that I think this is interesting. It also speaks to the risks that political professionals will take to distance themselves and save their own credibility for future jobs while they're taking Trump's money. And you're seeing that more and more and more and more. There's some big companies in D.C. that are lobbying companies and political operative companies that are working with Trump. They're taking the money, but they also don't want to be seen as part of the problem next time around. And they're hoping that the Republican Party next time around will have more
candidates,
more predictable candidates, right? I mean, I think Donald Trump, right now, it's 50-50. I think Donald Trump could be president of the United States easily. Now, will he be a successful president of the United States? I'd say that those chances are fewer than 50-50, because I think, like all of this, he would be learning more on the job than anybody else would be learning on the job. Everybody learns on the job, right, to become president. But but he'd be learning even more. And I'll tell you, here's something to watch for moving forward. He is going to get, after the Cleveland convention, assuming that he becomes the nominee, and I'd say that's a likely scenario.
Right. There is that movement, the Never Trump movement, where they would introduce some kind of a proposal to vote your conscience.
Right. But they haven't done that as of today.
Yeah, they haven't. And
they're meeting on that today in Cleveland.
And you can imagine.
And we're going to be in Cleveland next week for this.
Bringing you all the action.
On the floor. We'll be there. Bring in the show from there. That's going to be a moment.
It really will.
So now, what to look out for here? Once he gets that briefing, that three-ring binder briefing that they get when they are the nominee, and it gives them access to the most top-secret information in America that would be available to a president in a daily briefing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the most. I mean, there's other stuff that the president can ask for, but this is what they give a president so that they're aware of a couple of different things. One being, and the most important document in there, is a document called the Threat Matrix, in which they look at all of the things that are going on in the world that day and who wants to kill whom, including the United States, right? What acts of plots there are that are being either monitored or intervened.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying within the United States, but also internationally.
Yes, all that stuff.
All the pockets of terror and...
And then you find out about some stuff that's really bad happening around the world. And to me, it'll be very interesting if Trump can control himself once he actually sees what that stuff really is.
And not disclose it, you mean?
Not start talking about it, not start using it as a campaign wedge. Mm. Those are the kinds of things that he can do, right? And the thing is that there's all kinds of diplomatic realities to that. How that Threat Matrix report is put together is based on use of people inside other governments who are leaking information to us. and to our operatives on the
so
on the ground
there.
It could be very dangerous. And I just I wouldn't trust him. You know, everybody says don't trust Hillary with it because, you know, she had a private email server. Okay, I don't disagree with that argument. I don't give it to Trump either. Don't give it to him.
Well, there you go.
Mark McKinnon is with us. He has one of the best shows on television, The Circus, Inside the Greatest Political Show on Earth. And it was so ironic. As soon as I said that, it almost sounded like a clown horn in back of you, Mark, right when I said that. It's so funny.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. First of all, let's just go with that notion. You know, I mean, that's that to me. You worked in and around presidents. And not in a president, but you know what I mean, in and around the office of the presidency. Do you think, I mean, that I would be, if I were the people who were going to be handing over that that really sensitive information to Donald Trump, I'd be concerned.
Well, sure. But, you know, you have people on the other side saying, well, you've got a Secretary of State who was pretty cavalier about classified information in her email. So I think you have concern on both sides.
Sure. I say give it to neither of them.
Okay. None, what do you do?
None of them get it. That's it. If he doesn't get it, she doesn't get it. It's like when they,
it's like your kids. Okay, you both didn't behave,
right.
So you don't get your brownie or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the headsets for the quarterbacks. If one side can't get it, the other side can't get it.
Watch out for the libertarians.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
So, Mark, we're expecting a very exciting convention, a lot going on. Do you expect the Never Trump people to do anything, to set a fire there that you know during the convention? What do you think is going to happen there?
I've been in Cleveland a bunch this week, and I have to tell you that just from my reporting and observations, that it's really running out of gas. There's not a real fundamental sort of structured foundation to that movement, and so I think it's going to run out of gas pretty quickly.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I thought a week ago I would have disagreed with you on that. I think we both would have thought that there would be more. But I've noticed that the people who would have to do that aren't showing up. Everybody is starting to want to avoid this.
That's a good point. I mean, the bigger point is not who's there causing trouble. It's who's not there in the first place that would cause trouble. You know, the thing I think is interesting is that, you know, we heard for a long time about, you know, just how exciting the lineup was going to be. And I think I may have mentioned this to you last week, but as the person in charge of getting entertainment for Republican conventions, I know how hard that is. And once you get past the Oak Ridge Boys and Wayne Newton, it gets thin real fast. And so it's been interesting. You know, they were supposed to release it last week, and then, you know, 4 days ago, they still haven't released the list of speakers. So I'm sure that Donald Trump had this notion that, you know, and it's the same discussion we have every 4 years. We're going to do it differently. This is going to be out of the box. This is going to be really exciting and different. And then you sort of meet the constraints that you're, you know, in the hand that you're dealt. And it's very, very hard to, A, just, you know, get past the agents of entertainers to you know, that would let them come to a convention, much less a Republican one, much less one, you know, with the nominee of Donald Trump. They're just, you know, they're very reluctant to let entertainers come out and risk their brand.
Mark, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, here's the thing that tells you everything you need to know. Mike Ditka said no. Now, Mike Ditka would go to the opening of a door, right? He's a guy who puts his name on anything.
He's
supporting Donald Trump, you know, to you know, whenever he's asked the question. Yeah, I like the guy. But they say, would you go and speak? Wow. Right? I mean, think about that.
And most of these sports, I mean, Trump decided, you know, I'm going to get sports people who are winners. Well, you know, they're not, most of them are not public speakers. And you know, you saw what happened with Ditka. You saw what happened with Tom Brady. And I'm sure that, you know, that was, I'm sure Tom Brady's agent weighed in, and Brady may say, well, I kind of like to go. His agent said, are you kidding? There's just no upside. I mean, for somebody like Brady, you know, I mean, you want fans, right? You want fans of your football team, and you want Democrats and Republicans to go. So why go out there and wave a flag of any type?
Yeah. So you expect that we're going to hear from the governor? Although this is interesting. People running for governor somewhere, some senator or something. A lot of those people don't want to be involved in this either because they don't necessarily want to get too close to what they perceive as potentially a nuclear meltdown of the Republican Party. And if Trump is a disaster, either in the election or after the election, they don't want to be associated with him. Or if he's a success, they are afraid of him, because I think the one thing that fears that the creepy fear inside other Republicans is this, that if he becomes a success as a president, he will be an authoritarian and a guy who will exact revenge about everybody who's talked badly about him.
Well, it's a question that we've asked and kind of highlighted on one of our episodes. It was really interesting. We had a bunch of Republicans say, "What do you fear most, that he'll lose or that he'll win?"
Right.
And there were those who were more concerned about him winning.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, go ahead.
We listen. Neither party has a popular nominee in this election, and polls came out in the last couple of days that show, despite having had a very difficult last month or so, Donald Trump's right in the middle of it. And that's just because, you know, he had like 3 or 4 or 5 days here that were not bad, and suddenly he's back in the hunt. And my guess is he's going to pick Mike Pence, which is a good pick for him. He's a solid, stable guy. Conservatives like him. And I've seen it a lot, and that, in fact, I've seen it every time. You have a convention, you have like a 4-day, spotlight where you get to control everything, and it's pretty hard to screw that up unless, of course, you get Clint Eastwood. But
yes, it wasn't you, was it, Mark? That wasn't you. Just say no, it was not me.
You don't claim that.
Yeah. All right, Mark McKinnon. When does the circus premiere again on Showtime?
Well, we just started last Sunday, which with a great episode that we captured all of last week, which was monumental, historic, epic, and tragic with the shootings and the email.
Right.
So we started with that, and so we're on this next Sunday and the following 3 Sundays through the conventions. We'll take a brief break, and then we'll be up for the whole fall.
All right. We'll see you at the convention next week. Can't wait.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. See you in person. We'll kick it together.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right.